Well, we're looking at Colossians chapter number 3. We're going to shave off a couple of verses, 12, 13, 14, right through there, and the traits to put on. And hopefully you have your hand out there if you want to follow along and fill in the blanks there. We'll look at this section of three verses and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at that last time. And having put on the new man in verse number 10, we reference back to another passage where it says putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, after we put on the new man in verse number 10 and see the regardless look of what your past is, now we're looking further at what we're putting on. Because there's neither bond nor free, there's none of that, it's all in Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see some more. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, as we look at in verse number 12 of Colossians 3, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And not perfection, but perfectness, the completeness there. And we trust that the Lord will bless us as we get into this lesson tonight. And hope you got your pen, paper, take notes, and we'll see what the Lord will do. Father, be with us now as we study this part of Scripture and we work our way on through. I pray that we would see what you'd have us to do, dear Lord. And let us see what it looks like a little bit more when we put on this new man. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to see the reason why we put it on, because you see in verse number 12 that these different aspects that are there sound a whole lot like another list in Scripture, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, that's the fruit of the Spirit. When you talk about those fruit of the Spirit that God works in your life, that's not something that you work out. Well, I'm really trying to work on that love and kindness and all that. No, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's working through you. But the reason we can put it on is because this group of people are those that are, as it says here, the elect of God, the ones that are saved. We're looking at the tremendous reason as to why we can put on the new man. And it simply comes down to if you're trying real hard in your life as you live, and you're trying and trying, it just doesn't work. You're trying to be nice, you're trying to be kind, you're trying to be forgiving, you're trying to be humble, you're trying to be meek, you're trying to be long-suffering, and every time you turn around, you just cannot do it. Well, my friend, you might want to make sure that the Holy Spirit resides in you. This is not a time where I'm going to jab somebody. But if you are not seeing those things, now back up. That doesn't mean that you haven't, all of us have had times we weren't kind, we weren't meek, we weren't humble, we weren't long-suffering. That's the old man that kind of fights, or not kind of, it fights with us hard as well. But as the old preacher would realize, or try to get his congregation to realize, if you're going out there and living well with all of the unsaved people and you don't have anything jabbing you, you don't have anything calling you back, you don't have anything convicting you, you don't have anything telling you, you ought to be living a different way. My friend, we'd want to check up on that salvation. Because that whole, the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, when He lives within you, then you're going to find yourself doing these. Will you do them all the time? Oh, don't we wish. But I find every time I don't live that way, then I have a visit from God who tells you, John, you should have been living that way. You live in there too? You have that as well? When you get mad at somebody and you shouldn't, you're short with somebody and you should have been long-suffering, just like the Bible says. We'll be very practical tonight to see the reason we can put it on is because we have this ability, because we're God's children. And when you're God's child, the Holy Spirit resides in you, and then He bears fruit in you. And so we see here in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. I was reading in a book by Oliver B. Green. He said this, every believer belongs to the family of God. The church as a body was elected before the foundation of the world, and every true believer is predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. However, individuals become a member of that body by receiving the Lord Jesus. You understand that, again, I mentioned it Sunday, I believe it was, about predestination. We don't have to be afraid of that word. Sometimes people get afraid of it. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God has predetermined, predestined that everybody that gets saved ought to live for the Lord. They ought to conform to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so, again, when God sets out of side of time and eternity, He sets outside of all of that for us to try to figure out, well, did God pre-know or did He predetermine? You see, when you're a God that operates at such a high level, we will never understand all that He does or all that He knows. Our finite minds can't comprehend it. But we can rest assured that if you're saved, you are this one that they're talking about, these called, these elect of God, these holy and beloved. And so we see that we're loved. And I just put this aspect in here. This is not in the scripture per se, in another passage, but we're loved like the prodigal son was. Some people argue, is that a lesson teaching about somebody coming to Jesus Christ and being saved? Or is that teaching that a backslider comes back and gets right with the Lord and gets his sins confessed and gets everything right between him and God? I wouldn't argue about it with you, but I would say it's the latter, because that son was a son while he was in the father's house. He was his son while he's out in the hog pen. He was also his son when he got back. But I wouldn't argue with us about it. But we see, though, that love for the Father was there all along. There's so much imagery in that story about the Father looking down and ready to see the Son when He comes back. And when the Son comes home, Father doesn't let Him get all the way home. He goes and gets Him. But I'm telling you this evening that we are loved just like that. And that's why we can put on the new man. You say, well, it's a chore to put on a new man. No, it's a joy to put on the new man. Is it always a joy to live that way? No, because you, like me, we get in our flesh and we'd like to let somebody have it. Which little cartoon character was it? Lemmy Adam, one of those mice or something on Tom and Jerry, whatever, somebody. And that's the way we feel sometimes. Lemmy Adam. Our flesh gets the best of us a lot of times. But it's a joy to get to put on the new man. And so I really want to ask you this evening, are you doing these things? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Then we're going to see not only the reason we can put it on found in verse number 12, but we're also going to look at the results, though, also found in verse number 12, because we're going to break down some of these aspects that you and I are supposed to be putting on. Like you grab that old coat and you put it on, we're supposed to put on, therefore, bowels of mercy. The Bible says here in this verse, bowels of mercy. That means that heart, that bowels is the innermost part of us, and that merciful heart that God wants you to display. You're not going to teach the world, show the world, and win the world, and win your friends to the Lord because you come show up here two or three or four times a week or something, or once a week or whatever. I mean, that might not hurt. But you're going to have to be a whole lot different around them. We already think you're okay, most of us. Now, maybe some things you're not telling us, and if we knew all that, we wouldn't like you either. But you're not going to show up here a few times a week and get somebody at your work or somebody in your neighborhood to think, oh, well, I want what he's got. Because they could all they think about you is just a hypocrite. He goes down there, but down here he lives like the devil. And so we see here, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, or putting on this new man, it brings these things. This is where the rubber meets the proverbial road, and we're supposed to be living in these bowels of kindness, and these goodness that I'm supposed to be putting out, the bowels of mercy, rather. And then it goes on to kindness. Kindness is just that gentleness, but it brings along this idea of being helpful to people. You know, here's where I have to argue with myself sometimes. I always want to invite people to church, but I work here. I'm the pastor. But you know, if I don't get the opportunity to work, bring them to church or invite them to church, or if it's somewhere where they can never come to hear, or if they'll never know what church I go to, I'm supposed to be kind no matter what. Not just because it pays off, but because I'm a new creature. And so God says that I'm supposed to put on this new man in this kindness, with that idea of being helpful to people. And so I'm just going to ask you, how helpful are you to people? You say, Pastor, that's not really my strong suit. It's supposed to be all of our strong suits if the Holy Spirit resides in us. Now, granted, some of us had a nicer disposition, some of you did, than others. I get that. Even before salvation, God just kind of blessed you with a nice demeanor. Well, then you're ahead of the game, and you ought to do that much more. But all of us, if we're saved, We ought to work on that. And please don't buy into the lie that says, well, that's just not me. Well, it might not have been me before salvation, but it's supposed to be me now. So if I'm putting on the new man, because you see, when I put on the new man, he brings kindness to me. So if I'm not kind, then it shows me I may be saved, but it shows me I'm not putting on the new man like I ought to be. So we've got kindness. And then we see as we go on, we see bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, quiet, gentle, that humility, that meekness, which we'll get to here in just a moment, that humbleness, quiet, gentle. Now, we usually think about this with a person who's just not loud and outspoken, but a person can be loud and have a personality that's outgoing, but still have this humbleness of mind to where they don't think they're God's gift to every party that they ever came to. They can be a fun, loving, whimsical person, but still have this humility. And then we move on to meekness. That's a lot like that humbleness of mind, but it kind of highlights, as meekness comes out, it highlights our spirit. You say, Pastor, what do you mean your spirit? Not capital S like the Holy Spirit, but little s, your spirit. And it is that, your breath of you. What blows in when you come in the room? Is it, wow, she's here? Or wow, he's gone. My mama used to say, everybody brings happiness. Some when they come into a room, other when they leave. Well, that I want to be that one that comes in and brings it with them. And so that's your spirit, though. That's the way that what blows through the room when you come in. And God says that meekness ought to come if I'm this new man, if I'm putting on that new man. Now, I can go either way. I can live far away from where God wants me to live. I can live back to them. You say, you, Pastor? Oh, yeah, ask my wife. All of us can. We can get sideways. We can get ugly. We can get mean, vindictive. You all do too. Don't look at me like I've just confessed something that you've never struggled with. You all do the same. We can go both ways on that because we still have that old flesh. You'll never get rid of it. I'm sorry to say, you'll never get rid of it till you go on to glory. It's always going to struggle. You're always going to struggle with it, or else you won't. Just let it have rule over you. You're always going to struggle with it. That's why we got to put on the new man. It's not a one-time thing. You said, oh, I did that 3 years ago. I don't have to do it no more. No, you got to put on that new man. Just like you get ready for the day, you got to put on that new man. You got to put him on more than once a day. And so we see that meekness. I want to get to this next one here. We see the meekness and we see this long-suffering. These are the things that you should be exhibiting if you're putting on the new man. And so I don't have to give you the test. You give yourself the test. Say, John, whatever your name is, am I putting on the new man? Well, don't ask it like that. Say this instead. Am I exhibiting this bowels of mercy? Am I exhibiting this kindness? Am I exhibiting this meekness? And am I exhibiting this long-suffering? This long-suffering, the word literally means long-burning, meaning that it burns long before it explodes. That's where we get that phrase, man, he's got a short fuse. Now, again, one person told my pastor, I've just got the gift of criticism. I don't think that's a gift. I'm afraid that's a curse. But he was some guy in the church who was giving a little difficulty back years and years ago. But some people are born with a hotter temper than other people. Some people are more long-suffering just naturally. But please don't dismiss or don't give yourself a break to say, well, that's just not the way I am. Again, we've all got these shortcomings. Yours might not be mine, and mine might not be somebody else, but we've all got these shortcomings. And if all we do is excuse them, then practically what has my new birth done for me, except take me to heaven? The new birth, when I was born again, when I was saved, that not only changed my residency for all of eternity, but then it also made me somebody that could be kinder, nicer, more long-suffering, more gracious, more humble, have more bowels of mercy while I'm going through this life until I get to heaven. So don't ask yourself, am I putting on the new man? Ask it a different way. Am I showing kindness? Am I humble in my mind and in my spirit? Am I long-suffering, or do I, if find people describing me as, oh, he's got a short, she's got a short fuse. So those are the results of putting on. I told you the story that a person had come to a mission camp, or a mission church rather, and this person wanted to be saved. But the reason that they said they wanted to be saved was because they'd had a bunch of interactions out in the town with this missionary. And they said, if that missionary represents Jesus, then I want the Jesus that that missionary has. Amen. So that missionary was putting on the new man, was showing, I don't know all the details, but was showing humbleness, long-suffering, showing a good spirit. So those are the results of putting on that new man. Now, I want to move from the inside and us as how we treat people. Now we want to look at the relationships of those that put on. Verse number 13, put on as the elect of God. We read through that, the mercies, the meekness, the long-suffering. And then we see in verse 13, for bearing one another and forgiving one another. So these are have left the inside of how I feel about people on the inside. Now it's going to how I'm literally treating them. The other ones, they got wind of it. Yes, they did. The Spirit was blowing through and all that. But now it's literally telling me how I'm supposed to treat you and treat others, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Forbear means to endure. You just take it. The redneck definition be you put up with it. Forbear. It's some people forbear their spouse. I just endure. That's not the way to live, but there's been many people, they didn't necessarily marry the one that was the perfect right match for them, and they just endure. Thank God, I guess they do, but they just endure. Like the fellow was having problems, he was going to his doctor, and he said, well, I don't sleep well, and I just get up, and I'm agitated and all that. And he said, well, tell me about your mornings. Do you wake up grumpy? He said, well, not usually. I let her sleep as long as I can. So, you know, when you're agitated and you just put up with people, that's the idea of forbear. So the Scripture says, forbearing one another, endure. You say, I don't like to live like an endurance. That's true. You shouldn't do that. That's not a sustainable thing for years and years and years. But there are times when you're not on your best behavior and you hope that your spouse forbears, endures through that, because they did say better, worse, all those things. Well, we see that they forbear. And then it goes on to say not only forbear, but also forgiving one another. Of course, we obviously know what that is. That means we take what they did and the cynical person would say, you're letting it slide. I don't know if we're letting it slide, but we're forgiving. What does Scripture says back in Ephesians? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The next time you want to hold something over somebody's head, may you remember this night and just be thankful that Jesus doesn't hold anything over our heads. But don't you remember, John, when you did that? Jesus doesn't do that, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we see, if any man have a quarrel against you, this quarrel is just really a complaint. Somebody says something about you, and just think about this for a minute. Aren't we always upset when somebody complains or they say something about us that is not true? Could you do a little experiment? Think back through all the times that we don't have that much time. Think back through all the times you did something wrong, dumb, or really hurtful, and they didn't catch you. So really, if somebody defames you a little bit and they say something and they really did misrepresent your motives, your reason, or they said you did something you really didn't, does that really line up, or does that really measure up to all the times that you did do something wrong, you did have the wrong ideas, you did have do something wrong, you did were unkind to somebody, but they just didn't catch you? My father-in-law would tell the boys that some were worse than others. You know, my pastor is one of them, and there's two others, and he would be very clear about it if he sometimes just line all three of them up and whip them. You know, spank them, whoopings, beatings, you know, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. He would say that if they weren't all guilty, then he probably missed something sometime before that. So if you weren't guilty this time, that's just catch up for what I didn't hit you on the last time for. Well, when somebody defames us or they say something that's not true, they have a complaint against us. It can happen in a marriage. It can happen in a church. Somebody says, well, I can't believe why she got to do that and I didn't. Well, she doesn't sing no better than I do. He don't preach no better than I do. I can do what he does. Like that little boy said, he told his mom, I want to be a preacher. And she says, oh, I'm so happy. He says, why would you want to do this? He said, well, I got to go to church anyways. Might as well stand up and shout instead of sit down and be quiet. He said, well, I can talk as good as he can. Why am I out there? And it doesn't usually come to that to the pastor, but it says, well, I don't know why she got to sing and I didn't, or why. Somebody has a complaint. What's the Word of God tell us to do? It says, if any man have a quarrel, that's just literally a complaint. They have something they're sideways about you for. It says, if they have that quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And what? Notice what it doesn't say in that verse. It doesn't say, as soon as they come to you and tell you this, as soon as they come to you and say they're sorry, forgive them. That's really not in the equation of biblical forgiveness. It's like, well, I'm not going to hold it against them. That's really what forgiving is. You just slough off your right, so to speak, to hold somebody accountable, and you just say, well, let it go. You say, oh, pastor, I believe in justice too much. I've got to make sure they get what's coming to them. I hope I don't get what's coming to me. Amen. Now, again, I've made this disclaimer before. If it's something that's wrong or illegal or somebody's going to get hurt or somebody did get hurt, I wouldn't cover for my own family. No, I certainly wouldn't cover for anybody, anywhere, if somebody was being maligned or hurt. I'm not talking about that. Those are not the complaints that usually churches have dissension about. And those usually aren't the ones that family gets all tore up about. It's just jealous complaints. And the Bible tells us here how to handle them. Let them go. If somebody's got a quarrel against you or a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And I want you to look at this last verse, number 14, before we close tonight. Because we're going to wrap it all up as the Bible wraps it up. And above all these things, above what all things? All these things we just listed. Mercies and meekness and long-suffering and forbearance and forgiving, all those things. And above all these things, God goes back to, just like he says in 1 Corinthians 13 or so, about charity and love, suffers long. Above all these things, put on charity. Charity is just another word for love, you know. Put on love. You put on the new man. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on love. Put on charity. And I love the phrase of how the Bible puts it. It says, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is the glue that holds it all together. Why did Christ come to the earth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was love that put him on the cross. You all heard that argument. Did the Roman soldiers, did they crucify him? Was it the Jews? Was it who? Who was it? Well, it wasn't them, me, you, or anybody else. The plan was his. Love took him to the cross for our sins, of course. And so love now pulls all these things together. It's the bond of completeness. So if you and I want to get serious about living the Christian life, then we're going to have to put on the new man. And the way you can find out whether you have or not, I remind you, is don't start at the beginning, start over here at the end. Don't start saying, well, have I put on the new man? I don't know. I can tell you. Are you living in verse number 13? Are you living in verse number 12? Are you living in verse number 14, putting on charity? If you're not meek, you're not humble, you're not kind, you're not having those bowels of mercies, then pretty good chance you're not putting on the new man like you're supposed to. I didn't say you weren't saved. I just say we're not strapping on, we're not putting on the new man, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ as we go throughout this wicked world, because you understand that we can live backslidden, we can live in ugly ways, We cannot listen to the Spirit, but that's not the way that we ought to live. So it's a wonderful privilege we have as children of God to put on the new man. And so it's only possible if you know God as your Savior, if you know Christ as your Savior, a son of God, child of God. It's a joy to get to be saved. And really, you will find the most joy when you live in the way that these verses have described and you do put on that new man, the traits that we ought to put on. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, we've seen the reason. It's because we're saved. We've seen the results. You've listed out how we ought to be living. And then, Lord, the relationship, how we can interact with the people who are around us. Father, we're thankful for the chance to come to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us look to thee in Jesus' name. Brother Nathan's going to come lead us in this hymn of invitation, "Just As I Am." If you're able to stand together with us, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come.
Just as I am, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark thought, to thee whose blood can cleanse each sod, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you so much. Well, it is a joy to be in church tonight, but also Brother Nathan and Miss Becca's daughter, Abby, is saved and baptized, but wants to join the church here with her parents, and we're so thankful for that. We appreciate the Foreigns and all that God has been using them to do, and so we'd want to receive Abby into fellowship. We need a motion to make that happen. All right, Brother Larry Stover makes that motion. Brother Scott Martin seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. God bless and praise the Lord for that. And hopefully some of you get by and see Miss Abby on your way out. And then I also hope that it's 5 till 8 that you would. We shook hands a little bit in the beginning. But, you know, one of the wonderful gifts of the church is fellowship.
Amen.
And we can't fellowship all night. We got to go home, and many of us have to work tomorrow. I understand that. But it wouldn't hurt just to find somebody who you haven't got to talk to for a while, or maybe you don't know yet, and just introduce yourself to them and just fellowship a little bit as you go out. And regardless of that, God bless. Enjoy the rest of the week. Amy and I are praying for you. You're dismissed.